Shalom everyone. We are studying today Parashat Vayeshev, the book of Genesis, Bereshit, chapter 37, verse 1. Parashat Vayeshev is very, very deep, very broad. Like the previous Parashot, it has a lot of treasures, and we will focus today on a few of them. And first of all, we like the previous parashot, we have to understand there are many layers of meanings, study lessons in this parasha. First of all, Parashat Vayeshev, the story is, it is a story about Jacob after all what he went through in the previous parashot, like, you know, the trials and tribulations, he's coming to one of the most challenging of his life. Joseph, his son, his beloved son, his most appreciated son. We can see that in verse number 2, chapter 37, Ele toldot Yaakov Yosef ben 17 shana. These are the outcomes of Jacob, Joseph. And it says really clear, Jacob, Joseph. Although Joseph was one of 12 sons, it is very clear in this parasha that he is the favorite, and Jacob sees him very highly. And however, Joseph, as it looks like from the story, although he was born privileged, he was not really good in whatever he was doing till the troubles really started to hit him. And as we said with Jacob, he had very tough life. And in this parasha, although he's not the star of the parasha, there are two stars for this parasha: Yosef, Joseph, and Yehuda. These are the two, if you notice, these are the two main stars, heroes of this parasha. We will see why. It's very important for us to understand. But first of all, we learn about Joseph, that he did not realize that his brothers don't like the fact that he's the beloved son, that he has a special coat that his father made for him. He has those dreams that he tells them that he's going to be their king. They can't stand the idea. They can't stand the dreams. And the parasha starts with two dreams, and the parasha ends with two dreams. And learning about how to interpret dreams, most of the wisdom about it, you can find this parasha. I just make it short for all of us. The problem with Joseph, he told his dreams about rising to royalty. He told it to people, they don't like him. And we learn from that, you never tell dreams to people who don't like you. The second rule is, you never tell dreams to people who don't know how to interpret dreams in a proper way, realizing, what does it mean, proper way? As the Zohar is teaching, the dream follows the interpretation, which means the dream is a message from the upper world. However, when the message is coming down to the human mind, the dream is being already translated into logical vision, concept, and ideas. So you lose a lot in the translation. And of course, when somebody interprets a dream, the power of the mouth is very strong. The mouth, which means the way we interpret the dreams, forces the manifestation of the dream. And therefore, you don't tell your dreams even to people who love you unless they know how to interpret a dream in a positive way. So the fact that the person loves you is not enough. The first rule, don't tell the dreams to people who don't love you. Two, even people who love you, but they don't know the power of the mouth, Do not tell them your dreams. So that's one thing about the dreams, and I spoke about a lot about it in previous years' interpretation of Parashat Vayeshev. But here we want to focus on a very important idea that is very relevant to what we are going through as individuals and as a society, as human society, in this crucial journey that we're going through in this very powerful journey of these years. If you didn't realize, we are witnessing biblical revolutions in the history of humanity. So what the dream, what the story is about? So Joseph, it's telling us about Joseph, his relationship with his brothers. Finally, they think, the brothers, that here we have another Esav, because till he's 17, he's not very wise, he's not very understanding, and he gets more enemies as the time passes by. Finally, they want to kill him. Jacob sends him over to see the brothers. He comes to see them, and they are going to kill him. Somehow, Reuben, the older brother, prevents them from killing him. They throw him into a pit full of scorpions and snakes. And then Judah gives this idea, let us sell him as a slave so we don't kill him. So they sell him as a slave. He's this the those merchants he's being sold to, they take him to Egypt, sell him over there. He comes to Potiphar, who buys him, and Potiphar realizes that he's a genius. Not just a genius, he's a wizard. Whatever Joseph is doing, God, Potiphar sees that God is making it successful. Very powerful expression. So he appoints Joseph to be the overseer of all the business of Potiphar, one of the most powerful people in Egypt economically and politically. But then remember, Joseph is young, is one of the most beautiful men that ever walked on earth. And the wife of Potiphar, she wants him, she desires him. And one day she makes sure that nobody's in the house. She grabs him into her bed and he runs away, leaves his clothes with her, and she's screaming. Finally, he's being sent to jail, although he stayed loyal to his master. Okay, in jail, he meets the wine steward and the baker of Pharaoh. They have two dreams, and the story ends over here. However, there's another story. So from that story, they made a musical, Joseph and the Dream Colored the Coat. That's about there's a musical. It's a very famous story, one of the most famous stories in history. But we have another story, Judah, Yehuda, the brother who gave the idea to sell Joseph as a slave. Immediately after Joseph is sold as a slave, we are visiting the story like a good telenovela or soap opera. The story shifts to focus on Judah and Yehuda. The story is very clear. Chapter 38, verse 1. Vayered Yehuda metechav, and Yehuda descends from his brothers. Why does he descend? Rashi says, "Lelamed shuridu echa midulato." He was considered to be one of the greatest leaders of the brothers, and now after his advice got them to sell Joseph, they did not listen to him anymore. When they saw how shocked is Jacob, their father, and how depressed he is because of the loss of Joseph. And they say to him, Ata amarta lemocho, you told us to sell him. Ilo amarta lashivo, if you told us to bring him back to his father, היינו שומעים לך, we would be listening to you. So he descended, and from that moment on, it's down the hill. He's marrying a lady. She has three sons from him. The two first of them, the two older ones, they marry. The first one marries a woman named Tamar. He dies. Then the second one marries Tamar. He dies also. Shelah is young. To make sure the story short, it's not our story. Happens to be that Tamar tricks Yehudah into to get her pregnant, and she gives birth to two sons. Later on, these two sons become the founders of the two most powerful houses of the tribe of Yehuda. When they merge, Ruth from one, the Moabite from one side, Boaz on the other side, King David comes out of that merging. So we have here two great stars, Yehuda and Yosef. And now let us try to figure out what's in it for us. So the first idea that comes out of this parasha, let us, and this is a story about, you know, we see over here how Jacob still pays heavily about being like a famous celebrity, powerful person. He has so many troubles happening to him, and each one of them is enough to devastate one person and to finish his life. You know, a lot of people, they don't need too much, and it's over for them. Now, so of course, one question that comes up to us is, you know, why do bad people suffer? We dealt with that last week, and the answer was, we have to remember, we are not here to have a nice, easy life. Although this is the story that modern society is selling us. If you follow basic rules, study hard when you're a kid, being a nice person, okay, being honest, then after you study, you get a degree, a powerful degree in a famous university, then get a job, then you have to be fierce, focused, fearless, and you work hard and you're going to get a great life. Make money, buy a house, cars, all what society has to offer to us, and you get a status and a good life. Very simple. The story is very simple. It's very easy to sell a story like this. What is the problem? Humans are not machines, and it's never the way it's being told to us. It's always with complications. And the question is, why is it that people feel that when we have troubles, we are being punished? And the answer was in previous parasha, the concept was the kings of Edom that died, and we explained the concept that the universe, since the creator is endless, infinite, love and kindness, he created the universe exactly for the purpose of making us happy and experiencing pleasure. However, because we were created in his image mentally, we have that trait that we can't stand dependency as the creator. We must be creative and innovative as the creator, and we must possess the attribute of sharing, giving, and kindness. And therefore, with these concepts of independence, creativity and innovation, and giving, this is something we have to acquire in order to fit the image of the creator. When the universe that the creator created in the first place was complete and perfect, there was no space for us to do that. So the creator had to, by a genius innovation, to create paradox, to create blindness, to create confusion. Because only when we are confused and blind and upset, only then we can create light out of darkness. Only then we create something out of nothing. Only then we create sweet out of bitterness. And this is why the universe had to collapse. Why the kings of Edom that died, they Kabbalistically, they are the symbol of those great vessels that the Creator created, that reigned, which means came to royalty, had power, and died. Died means fell from their power and broke with the concept that is called the broken vessels. So now the universe is divided to complete vessels and broken vessels. And every human being, every aspect in our life is a mixture of the complete and broken vessels. And our job is to correct the broken vessels by overcoming hate, overcoming anger, overcoming lust, overcoming confusion, despair, pain, misery, darkness. When we overcome those obstacles, we are creative, innovative, and we are in control. We are independent. And we do that with the power of love and caring and giving. And that is emulating the image of God within ourselves. When we create that, we can achieve what is called correction. And every human being has a different aspect to correct of all of creation. This is the concept. Now, in Parashat Vayeshev, we're being presented with another concept. But before that, the simple layer, also from the Zohar, but this is in the Kabbalistic explanation, there are also different layers of understanding. First of all, where is evil, pain, suffering coming from? So verse 25 in the Zohar Parashat Vayeshev, Rabbi Chiya patach v'amar lachen anshei levav shiv'u li chalila la'el meresha v'shadai me'avel, kifo'al adam yishalem lo u'che'orach ish yamtzienu. This was from the book of Ecclesiastics, where it says, no, I'm sorry, from the book of Job 34, good book for that question. Why do people suffer? And the answer is, the simple answer in the book of Job, very good book, by the way. It's very important to study that book, but with the commentaries. Bo'e kasher bara kadosh baro et ha'olam. Tachaze kat bara kutsha b'chu alma avad le al dina. Ve'al dina itkayem. Ve'chol avadin de'alma inun kayimim bedina. בר דקודשה בריחו בגין לקיים האנמה ולא יתוות, פרש עליך רחמי. ואינון רחמי מעקווה לדינה, דלה ישתצא ילמה, ולחמי יתנהג אלמה ויתקיים בדיני. So first of all, come and see. When the Creator created the universe, he built it, established it upon judgment. Judgment, what does it mean? Cause and effect. And the world is established upon judgment. We know that from physics, for every action, there is a counter reaction. And all the actions of the world, they are based on judgment, which means, you know, something moves, there's friction. That is judgment. It's like, and there's no perpetuum mobile, which means you cannot create a system that generates its own energy forever. You always need to bring new energy from the outside. So, in order to prevent the world from falling apart, the Creator injected to the world or spread over the world rachamim, mercy. And those rachamim, mercy, they delay the judgment so the judgment does not destroy the world. Because if judgment was really the only power, Who can say he is perfect? He's even close, getting close to being perfect. Because of all our wrongdoings, the world will come to an end very easily. However, the Creator created that attribute of mercy, rachamim, delay, appeasement. And therefore, we do not get exactly what we deserve. We get much less. So we continue verse 26. V'im tomar shakadosh baruch hu sedin ba'adam beli mishpat. If you're going to say that God punishes people without any judgment, because you look at people, they get punished. Although it doesn't look like they deserve it. And we learned when the judgment dwells upon a person, and that person is a righteous person, it's because God loves him. And because he loves him, he cares for him to bring him closer to God. And in order for the person to get closer to God, he needs a broken body. Just think about it. When is it that we really feel the need to connect to God? When everything is nice, when we just make a lot of money every day, when we're very busy spending that money, when everything in the mundane physical dimension is running smoothly, we are lucky and we're working hard and we get whatever we deserve and everything looks great. Do we need God at that time? No. The more we eat, the more fat we become. I mean, satiated with physicality, the less we need God. So, and when is that we are looking for spirituality, for God, for the spiritual dimension? When we get plagued, when our body is broken, when our ego is broken, not before. Look around and you'll see that this is the truth. People do not really pray to God when everything is comfortable, nice, and their belly is full. People pray to God when they are being shaken, when they are being threatened, when their well-being is being threatened by a disease, financial problems, social problems, any kind of threat, only then. So that's what the Zohar says. When God loves somebody, he forces him to get out of his comfort zone. So he will start looking for another support. When he realizes that money, friends, perfect society is not what is going to support you. So God breaks the body so the soul becomes dominant. Only then the human being will get closer to God as it should be. Only then the soul will take over. The soul will overcome and take the leadership. וצריך האדם לגוף חלש. So the person needs a weak body ולנפש חזקה and a strong soul שתתגבר בגבורה, and that soul must overcome with power and judgment and vigor to overcome the desires and the whims and the urges of the body. Only then the person becomes the lover of God. אז הוא אוהבו של הקדוש ברוך הוא, כמו שאומרים החברים, שהקדוש ברוך הוא נותן צער אל הצדיק בעולם הזה בשביל לזכותו לעולם הבא. So that's what the friends are saying. God inflicts the righteous person in this world so to get him closer to God in the world in Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, I said many times, the Hebrew term Olam Haba, if you want to translate it directly, it means the world that is coming, present, continuous. Not the world to come, but the world that is coming, Olam Haba, which means the world, the upper world, the spiritual dimension is coming at us all the time. The question is, do we welcome it? Or are we very busy with this physical world? And therefore, we block the spiritual dimension. And that means no real, true, lasting fulfillment. That means plague, which means the fact that we find today so many people like never before, that on the physical dimension, they have everything. We are richer than any generation before us, okay? We have access to products, to any kind of services, running water, toilets in the house. You know, when, you know, ancient times, it was said, if you have a toilet in the house, you must be a very rich person. Today, who doesn't have a, you know, toilets in the house? We think it's, you know, everybody has it. No, I don't think that, you know, there are billions of people on this planet that don't have that. And just a century ago, very few people had that. So the fact we have access to medications, to soap, to clean our food, to clean our hands, to clean our utensils, our dishes, that makes us healthier, less infections. Most people died from infection in a very young age, till not long ago, not very long ago. We are very, very fortunate, very rich in the life standard. You know, most people live in households that have few rooms. That was not that common. So why is it that people are so unhappy today? Why is it that so many people must be treated for depression, clinical depression? Why is it? And the Zohar explains, verse 28, וכשהנשמה היא חלשה והגוף חזק הוא שונו של הקדוש ברוך הוא. When the soul is weak and the body is strong, the person hates God. And he doesn't need him. שאינו חפץ בו. Why do I need God? How many people today in a modern society, in the richest countries, they don't need God? What for? You know, I am God by myself. And therefore, God does not want him. Eino chafetz bo, eino noten lo tzar ba'olam hazeh. So God does not give him any troubles. So you live a nice life. What does it mean, nice life? You get what you want. You look around, you see those people. They simply work hard, make a lot of money, buy a lot of stuff, spend the money. Looks like they have a perfect life. ונראה, אינו נותן לו צער בעולם הזה. They don't have too many troubles. אלא דרכיו ישרים. Their ways are straight and normal, and it looks perfect. ובכל השלמות, looks perfect. משום שאם עושה צדקה ומעשים טובים, הקדוש ברוך הוא משלם שכרו. And why? God says, you know what? You worked hard, you even gave charity. I'm giving you all what you deserve in the physical dimension. So on the outside, you have a perfect life. I met thousands and thousands of people like this from all over the world. And if you're really a spiritual human being, you will see it immediately that on one aspect, the person has a perfect life. On the other aspect, the person is in deep misery, dissatisfaction, and torture, which means I have everything. Why is it that I'm not happy? I'm not really happy. Why is it that I'm frustrated and depressed? Why is it that I'm angry all the time? And that's a curse of our generation. ומשום זה צדיק, and one thing that the Zohar says, if that person is doing some charity, some good thing, God gives him immediately the reward in the physical dimension. So the soul is starving. And the inner torture is beyond anything you can imagine. And therefore, we see that the levels of depression, the level of pain and misery that people feel, that, it looks obviously that they should be very happy with their lives. But we have to understand, the Zohar says, we see also a lot of righteous people that have also nice life. They were not sick. They didn't go through a lot of disasters and traumas. And the answer is, depends, what you have to go through in order to achieve a spiritual greatness. But especially that verse that we quoted from Job, this is the secret. Sh'arei kol ma'asav, I'm reading from verse 32. Kol ma'asav shel kadosh b'ruchu im be'emet v'tzedek, ki po'al adam yeshalem lo. Po'al adam yeshalem lo, the actions of a person will pay him back. Which means, when you create positive actions in the world, you create positivity that will pay you back. When you create negativity in the world, could be about hurting others, could be also hurting yourself. Somebody is getting addicted to drugs. Okay, let's say the person hurts no one. Why does he get hurt? Because being addicted means that you are denying the basic idea of for the creation. You have to be the master of your fate. You have to take responsibility because you have to be independent and independent. You have to create your own happiness. You cannot be, we have developed dependence in a person or materials or powders or stuff like this or smoke. And you have to be a giving human being. And that won't come for free. That needs a lot of hard work. So if you put your major effort on that dimension, you'll get happiness because your actions create that happiness. However, if you put all your effort only on the physical, external aspect, don't look for the happiness. It's not going to come to you. Okay, so that's one thing. There's a cause and effect, but not the way we think. Okay? It's much deeper than that. And it's all about realizing that whatever we go through has a purpose, has a meaning, and we have to activate that most important secret, which is called the power to overcome. The power to overcome, which means the ability to block, stop the anger, the frustration, the vengeance, and the hatred, because they are making us victims. We cannot have the image of the Creator within us when we behave like this. And we have to overcome that immediate reaction, take control, stop the reaction, overcome the reaction, connect to the higher dimension, realizing that whatever happens is for the good. And we see that hint. Joseph is 17 when the story is starting. Why do we need to know 17? Because 17 in numerology, in gematria, is tov, good, which means whatever happens from that moment on, although it took years to see, but it was all for the good. No matter what calamities happened to Joseph along the way, or even to Yehuda. So that's one aspect. But there's a deeper aspect over here. Why do we need that story in the first place? Why those people? And we said there's another aspect, and that we can read that in the Zohar of Parshat Pinchas. And it says like this, Parshat Pinchas, verse 651. בימינה דאברהם לדרגי חסד נתין נוקמה מישל מישמעאל, וממנה דילי ובשמאלה דיצחק לדרגי פחד נתין נוקמה מעשיו, וממנה דילי ביטרין משיחין דהינון חד מימינה, משיח בן דוד חד משמאלה, משיח בן יוסף, ובדרגה דיעקב דהי לקבלי ברזה דסיכל את ידיו, אריה לשמאלה, שור לימינה, דישמעאל, בגין דיהודה גלה בעשיו, דשכח ימינה דקדושה, עם שמאלה דעשיו, ושמאלה דקדושה עם ימינה במסבה דישמעאל, עד כי יבוא שילה ראיה מהמנה, בדרגי תפארת ישראל נתין נוקמה מערב אב. This verse, we can study a whole class just about that, but it gives us a deeper dimension. It says as follows. The story of the book of Bereshit, we started with Abraham, okay? It was already in the third parasha, Lech Lecha. Because in Parashat Bereshit, we covered 10 generations. Parashat Noach, 10 more generations. And then the 21st generation is starting with Avraham Avinu, with Abraham. Then we have a few parashot about Abraham, then Isaac, and then Jacob. And the answer is that Abraham, as we explained many times, Abraham represents that state of mind, that state of consciousness, that programming mindset of chesed, loving kindness. Without that, there's no way any human being can make any advancement or achieve anything in the world without that aspect of looking at the world from the state, from the point of view of, I'm here to create grace, love, and sharing and giving. Without that, you're not complete as a human being. How can we create it? Because we learned already in Genesis, Ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra minu'av. The human heart is evil since our birth. How can we create the aspect of unconditional giving and love, which is totally illogical if we talk about the physical logic? And the answer is, you have to create grace, kindness, and love. And how do you see that as a metaphysical, universal, cosmic idea that is not negotiable? The first person who brought down that kind of mindset or today's ideas, it's basically an app. Like there's a computer app, or there's a smartphone app, mobile app. This is kind of a perfect programming that allows a human being to dedicate himself to the idea of chesed and kindness. Why? There's no why. It's a concept. And I had to connect. The first person who created that spiritual, metaphysical, you name it, app that can settle in a human brain and become a dominant part of your life. And a lot of successful people, really, truly successful people, without that app, there's no success. However, it's not enough. You need also judgment. Judgment means not just I'm here for the idea of giving and loving and sharing. I'm here also to receive. I'm a human being. I'm a creature of desires. I need to put my boundaries. I need to learn how to be, on one hand, assertive, judgment. The other hand, loving and caring. This is Isaac, Yitzchak. So we need that. Every human being needs these two apps in order to be functional. However, this is not enough. As we said before, when you have that fight, what should I do right now? Should I be assertive and put the boundaries? Or should I be kind and sharing? And the answer is, you should be both in the same moment. So if Abraham, the right column, the power of chesed, loving kindness, is on one side, the right side, thesis. So Isaac is antithesis. This is the left side, the judgment, the boundaries. And Jacob is the synthesis, which means when I give, I also get. When I get, I also give. You can't separate. When I give service, I do it with love, but also I make money out of it. I make a living. And there's no contradiction. I do the giving and the receiving in the same moment. I love what I do and I do what I love. I love my job and I make a living out of my job. This is the synthesis. This is Jacob. Okay? So we learned all the parashot from Lech Lecha till parashat Vayishlach. All of these parashot we learned in order to establish within ourselves every year again and again, because every year it's like we are new preachers, to establish these three forces that are named Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, when you come to the synagogue every morning, you start, as the Zohar is saying, with that verse, Vani berov chastecha voveitecha, ishtachave lecha kodshecha biratecha. And I'll come to the synagogue. I bow down to your place. I won't translate the verse, but it's in the prayer book. And it's basically connecting, according to the Zohar, to the three basic forces of the universe, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, man-made forces. They were created by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that are being referred to as chariots. They combined, synthesized between a human mind and a cosmic idea. We need that mind structure in order to be functional in everything we do, in every aspect of our lives. However, the Zohar says this is not enough. You need two more forces. Which are these two more forces? And the Zohar says, Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. In order, let's say, to close the deal, to seal the connection, to activate that as a universal movement, social movement, that will bring humanity as a whole into completion, you need two concepts. One is called Mashiach, son of David, and one is called Mashiach, son of Joseph. Okay, we have Joseph over here. We have David over here. When you read the Zohar carefully, you ask yourself, what is this crazy story of Yehuda having three sons? The first one marries a woman named Tamar. He dies. She marries his second son, Onan. He dies. And now Yehuda has to marry his third son, Shelah, that's his name, Shelah, to Tamar. He's afraid. Two sons died already. He had only one son left. He tells her to go home to her father. He never calls her back. She tricks him to get her pregnant. And that's the beginning of the house of David. What a weird story. But this weird story is about to tell us how there are those weird ways that we can't understand them. History doesn't go by logic, human logic. There's a higher logic. And that higher logic basically creates those, or yes, let's say stages, those weird shows of illogical events in the history of humanity. Only many years later, you realize, basically, the two houses, main houses of Yehuda, were born from Tamar. And she was a prophet. And she knew that Yehuda must bring those two souls of his dead two sons through her into those twins, Peretz and Zerach. And that's why the Mashiach is also called the Parzi, from the house of Peretz. But he was also Zarchi from the house of Zerach. I don't want to go deep, but to bring a special, unique soul like King David, the world needed to go in a special way. First time with Tamar and Yehuda, second time with Ruth, that she was an incarnation of Tamar, the Zohar reveals to us, and Boaz, who was, he had the reincarnation of Yehuda in him. And what came out? Who came out of those relations between those, that marriage between Ruth and Boaz? Finally, King David. So there is a special story, and that's why we have to trust the greatest storyteller in the universe, God Almighty. He is the greatest storyteller. We are part of the story, but we are part of amazing, great, magical story. Many times we don't get the idea. Think about the frustration and the humiliation of Yehuda when he realizes that he impregnated his daughter-in-law. He never touches her, but he raises her children, his children, that were basically an incarnation of his first two sons. Sounds so crazy, like, you know, the greatest soap opera of them all, if you just tell the story, but it's all to give birth to that idea of Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. So what is this idea in our life? Humanity must embrace that idea of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The idea that you need to be a giver, you need to be a receiver. On one hand, individualism is a great idea. It's a necessary idea. We are here to receive God's joy, love, happiness, excitement, and fulfillment. That's the main purpose of our creation. We are not supposed to forget it. So individualism is essential for the tikkun of the person and every human being. On the other hand, only individualism is impossible. You cannot connect to grace, to bliss, without creating the frequency of love and kindness, chesed, of Abraham. So the joining these two together, Jacob, is about, on one hand, how do we make what we call today a win-win situation? That, you know, I'm getting better by making other people's lives better, which is basically the idea that finally all of humanity must achieve. And what we see right now, you know, if we go to the, let's say, 80 years ago, 70 years ago, even 60 years ago, the whole education is about serving your country, serving your family, serving your society, your community. It was about serving and serving and serving and serving. And, you know, it's shameful to think about yourself. Okay, that created an amazing aspect of success in, you know, World War II society. The generation of wealth was amazing. But then, you know, the pendulum went to the other side. It's all about me. Who cares about everybody else? I have to think about me, 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 and only me. What's the problem about it? It's true. It's right, but it can't stand alone. And the result is the horrible, deep pain of loneliness that we experience in modern society. How do you merge the two, serving the others, and at the same time, getting yourself grow bigger and bigger and happier and happier? This is the idea of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's crucial for a healthy society. Now, so what story here we have? We see Joseph as the founder of the lineage of what is called Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach, the son of Joseph. Rabbi Ashlak, Baal HaSulam, the founder of the Kabbalistic movement in the 20th century, he says it very clearly. He explains, based upon the Zohar that we just read, in order for humanity to reach its completion and get out and be redeemed from its misery, humanity must go through these two Mashiach periods. Now, Joseph is the son of Rachel. Rachel, the same way that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were chariots with their wives, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rivka, the case with Jacob is more complicated. Rachel and Leah, they are, each one represent another dimension. Rachel was beautiful. She could be perceived as a beautiful, complete, harmonious, beautiful woman. When you see reality in harmony and symmetry, that's beauty. That was Rachel. Rachel was the chariot for the Shekhinah, but on the physical aspect. That's why Rachel was beautiful, and she was a soulmate of Jacob. Jacob, the source of the word Jacob in Hebrew, is Akev, a heel, okay? The lowest part of the human body, connected to the ground. Okay, Rachel was beautiful because it was, you could perceive it, you could see it and enjoy it. So Rachel is the aspect of ruling, controlling, and manifesting in the physical dimension, exactly like Joseph. He was, on one hand, a person of truth. How do we know? He had to withstand the most powerful moment of seduction that almost any human being faced. He was young. He was also one of the most beautiful men that ever walked on earth. Okay. But the wife of Potiphar was also one of the most beautiful women that walked on earth. She seduced him and he almost fell into it. But he activated the power of overcoming. He saw the seduction. He had the desire for her. He was almost there. But then he stopped the reaction, the desire, and he overcame, and he connected to the vision that his father taught him. The vision that he was supposed, as Joseph, the son of Jacob, to deliver to the world. The idea of self-restraint, not becoming a nothing, but you want to achieve greatness, you have to overcome the lust of the body. And he basically risked everything. He knew she's going to be angry. He knew that she's going to take revenge, but his vision was much bigger than that. In order to achieve greatness, and this is scientifically proven already, in order to achieve greatness in business, in politics, in everything, you must have a vision bigger than your bodily cravings and desires. This is Joseph. He is the chariot for that idea. Rabbi Ashlag is saying, for Mashiach to come, there will be two stages based on the Zohar. The first stage will be Mashiach ben Yosef. It will be a stage of amazing success of humanity on the physical dimension. Richness, access to all that is blissful and, you know, food, shelter, health, protection, safety, whatever. And in another dimension, the Jewish nation coming back to the land of Israel, making the miracle of taking a barren, deserted land and making it heaven on earth. The mountains will blossom again, as it says in the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah, Jeremiah, whatever. The mountains will blossom again. The desert will blossom. Richness will come from all directions, and we see that happening. However, it will be only on the physical dimension. It will be building a society based on vision. However, the success will be physical, financial. It will be a development of a world-leading economy. Israel is today, 100 years after the Zionist, we're talking about it in 1920, the San Remo Conference after World War I decides to reinstate the Jewish homeland, which means to give the land of Israel back to the Jewish nation so they can rebuild their country. 100 years later, Israel is one of the leading nations in the world in many aspects, but physically. We're talking about innovation, we're talking about the ideas, we're talking about high tech, we're talking about science, we're talking about ideas of sales and so on. It's like it's much, people are not aware, but Israel is one of the biggest sources in the world for ideas of developing. If you just read Forbes, I think in 1921, they published that 430 greatest international companies in the world have their thinking tanks in Israel. 530, that was 3 years ago. Okay, I'm not talking about the biggest high-tech companies in the world that have their R&D over here, like Microsoft and Motorola and Google. You just see all of them. It's here, okay, in Israel. Why is it? It's a world leading. This is Mashiach ben Yosef. This is exactly what it's all about. And you can't, there's almost no human being in the world that is using technology without needing Israeli technology. It's in the chips in your mobile phone, in your computer, if it's Intel or it's a, there's so many of them. Or it's your phone. It's like so many aspects of your phone were invented in Israel. Now, but that's Mashiach ben Yosef. And then there will be a transformation into Mashiach ben David. Now, David comes from Yehuda. Yehuda is the son of Leah. Leah, it is said about her that her eyes were soft. Commentaries, they were always veiled with tears because she thought she has to marry Esau. She did not want to. She cried and prayed daily to God to marry Jacob. She finally married Jacob. What does it mean that your eyes are veiled? If Rachel was the ability to see everything clear in the physical dimension, Leah was about the world that is beyond veiled. Leah, if Rachel was the chariot for the Shekhinah in the physical dimension, Leah was the chariot for Bina, the upper mother, which is the Olam Haba, the world to come, which is invisible, which cannot be felt by the senses. When we're talking about King David, Mashiach ben David, this is the messianic era in which humanity is starting to realize that you need to embrace the idea of the world to come in order to complete yourself. And Rabbi Ashok says there will be a fight between Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, and that is presented to us in this parasha. What we see right now is that fight. The fight between we don't need God. It's enough to be humane, to give people rights, to really respect everybody's right for individual success. without any, all of these ideas of progressiveness, it is based on a truth, very powerful truth that my a lot of people buy it. Every person is entitled to his individual success. Every person is different and he needs to be recognized as a different individual, and he needs to be supported to be successful in his individualism. And every person is entitled. He has a he is he must achieve that greatness in his own way. And we're supposed to support him. As the Zohar is saying, as the same as a tree of life, there are so many branches and so many side branches, so many leaves, and every human being is one aspect, and every aspect has to be basically respected and supported, because without that aspect that every person is supposed to reveal to the world, we are not complete. This is a great idea. On the other hand, without altruism, without having a vision beyond your selfishness, you're doomed. Okay? But there's another higher idea. The idea of Mashiach ben David, the son of Leah. The idea, there's a spiritual dimension. Spiritual dimension of spiritual wealth, happiness, bliss, that without it, all the great achievements of modern times will always be poor. Poor, dry, and empty. As it says in the book of Ezekiel, dry bones. Mashiach ben Yosef time is dry bones. Bones in Hebrew, atzamot, is the same, comes from the same word as atzmut, essence. When we're talking about dry bones, we're talking about people that on one hand, they're so rich with physicality, but their essence is dry. Therefore, one of the sons of Joseph was Ephraim. The Zohar says Ephraim comes from the word ephir, ashes. There's nothing more dry than ashes. You see people that on one hand, they're so successful, so individualistic, and so creative, but only on the mundane level, only the physical event level, and they're so empty, dry. And these two forces, these two movements in human society, the movement that for one hand says there's a world to come, there's a religious dimension of godliness in this world, and we have to bring it into our lives. And there is this Mashiach ben Yosef that says, no, we don't need that. It's enough to be successful on the physical level. It's enough to respect every person's individualism. And we don't need more than that. And we are just witnessing these two movements in their height. And neither is right. Both of them are right. Because you can't have Mashiach ben David, which means the spiritual awakeness, without Mashiach ben Yosef, that creates the physical background. As we say, you cannot have a real happy humanity if you can't feed every human being, if you can't build shelter, if you cannot guarantee people's rights for their own happiness and free space and ability to express themselves. So we are heading into a journey, very interesting journey, in which these two streams, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, will continue to fight in our societies, in the history of humanity, till we are going to see those two merge with each other. To have, on one hand, a society that gives respect, freedom of choice, freedom of growth, access to resources of wisdom, information, and fortune, at the same time, always realizing that you're always building a vessel for the spiritual dimension of godliness. And that's the only way you can achieve real completion. So it's not very clear to most of us. It will be clear in the coming years. And that's the message of this parasha. One of them, but this is the great message for today, especially. Thank you so much.